I normally put the outlines out on the table, but tonight I was afraid that if somebody got here early, they'd read all through this information, and then they'd have it all done, and I wouldn't need to preach. Maybe I could have done it that way, and we could all gone home earlier. You can probably read it faster than I can preach it. You want to turn to Genesis chapter 5? As we've been moving through some of these early chapters in Genesis, and so much has happened, of course, it being the book of beginnings, so many things going on. But we want to look at a few things this evening. I want to begin by asking you, as we think about the question, tell me what you think. How old is the earth? Well, how old is it? We've probably heard a lot of different numbers thrown around when that question was asked. What do you think? What have you heard? I know as I was studying for this lesson, I looked on the internet and found numbers ranging anywhere from 4 billion years to 5 billion years, and that the universe is even older than that. It's something like 12 billion years, they say. Well, if we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then why shouldn't we look to it for the answer to that question? And there are a lot of different people who have done that in the past, and we're going to do that tonight. Before we get to that, however, we want to notice a couple of things in chapter 5. Verse 1 begins with God re-emphasizing that man was made in God's image. He wanted to tell us that one more time, just to make sure we didn't miss it. And then notice in verse 2, that Mr. and Mrs. Adam, that's right, Mr. Adam and Miss Eve Adam was the first couple. And we see that there in verse 2. It says He created them male and female and blessed them, and He called their name Adam. That was their surname of sorts. I don't imagine they went around seeing how they were the only people on earth. They didn't really need a last name. But if they had been given one, that would have been their last name, Mr. and Mrs. Adam. I want us to notice also, back in chapter 4 and verse 25, it said that Eve named Seth. Here in chapter 5 and verse 3, it says that Adam named Seth. Now somebody, why, that's a contradiction. One says Eve named him, one says Adam named him. We forget. These two have become one. What one did, the other did. When they named that child, they named that child, and they did it together. So both Adam and Eve named Seth. In verse 3 as well begins something that's rather interesting. Back at the end of chapter 4, there were a whole list of names. So-and-so, bear so-and-so, and then there was this one and that one and these children, they had these children, and all of those things. Do you remember that section from last week? I know it's been a long time. But if you remember that section, I want you to notice that there is something different about the section in chapter 4 that details Cain's descendants and the section beginning here in chapter 5 and verse 3 that follows Adam's descendants through the line of Seth. Do you see a difference in those two? Have you noticed anything different? Well, let me read a little example from the first one and then from the second one, and we'll see if we can see a difference. It says, "And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch," back in chapter 4 and verse 17. Over here in chapter 5 it says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth." You notice a difference in those two verses? Well, I mean, other than the fact that one's talking about Adam's son and one's talking about Cain's son. But do you notice something that's in chapter 5 that's not in chapter 4? Did you notice that it specifies there how old Adam was when Seth was born? It doesn't do that in the genealogy back in chapter 4 with Cain. It doesn't tell how old he was or any of his other descendants. Primarily because in the scheme of things, it didn't matter. They all died out before the flood or in the flood. But Seth's descendants were important. Because Seth's descendants would be the ones that would lead down to Noah, and Noah would be the one on the boat. And so he is the ancestor of all of us that are here today through one of his three sons and one of their wives. This is, instead of just being a genealogy, this is what is often referred to as a chronology. Because it doesn't only tell who the father and son were, but it tells how old they were. And you know what we can find out when we are given ages of people? Well, we can add those ages together and find out some information. As we read down through chapter 5, we find also in verse number 4 that it says, "And the days of Adam after he begat and Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters." And verse 5 says, "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." Now, Adam wasn't the longest living of the patriarchs, but he certainly wasn't the least either. But we notice those big ages, and sometimes we're so focused on, wow, they lived 900 years. This one lived 800 years. That one lived, and we talk about Methuselah and how, oh, he was the oldest one. That's recorded. Now, there were other people on the earth besides this particular line. In fact, one of the things that we want to note is that by the time Adam had Seth as his son, he had already had at least two sons and at least one daughter. He'd already had at least three children before Seth. My guess is much, much more than that in that 130 years before Seth was born. And the reason for that is we know of Cain and Abel, and we know that when Cain left after killing Abel, he took his wife. So we know those are three descendants of Adam and Eve right there. Remember, Eve was named Eve because she was the mother of all living. So everybody that was on the earth was a descendant of Adam and Eve. And so there was three children at least. But Cain, when he left out of the presence of the Lord, do you remember what he was saying to God? "Anyone and everyone that finds me is going to kill me." Well, who? Who's on the earth to find you and kill you? Well, the only possible answer is that there were some other children of Adam and Eve that had scattered out from the family and were living other places by this time, and Cain was afraid that he'd run up on one of them and they'd kill him. So we don't know how many children Adam and Eve had for sure, but we know that they at least had those three before Seth, and then they had Seth. And then it says there in verse 4, that after Seth he lived 800 years, and he begat sons, that's plural, so that's at least two more, and daughters, that's plural, so that's at least two more. So he had at least eight children, at least eight. And I think it's reasonable to assume, based on some of the other things that we've looked at, that he had a lot more than that. You imagine how quickly the earth could fill up if they were having lots and lots of children. If he was having children for 900 years, well, now I know he probably didn't have any when he was 900 years old, but even if he had children for 200 years out of that time period. Somebody asked the other day, said, "Well, how horrible would it be to be old and decrepit at age 90 and still have to live another 800 or 900 years? Well, we've got to understand that the aging process probably worked a little differently. To them, instead of middle age being, oh, what is it, 35 to 45 or 50, they say, is middle age now. I mean, it keeps spreading out. But if they say 40 or 45 is middle age, which I guess if you say, well, the average person lives to be about 80, well, 40 would be the middle of 80. But so they say, well, you know, that's middle age. Well, middle age to one of these patriarchs that lived for 900 years wouldn't have been 40 or 50. It would have been 400 or 500. And then they wouldn't have actually been aged, probably, until they were well over 600 years old, or maybe 800 years old would be when they really started to be elderly. Well, think about it. When Noah was over 500 years old was when God told him to start building the ark. So he was already, certainly he wasn't an elderly, physically depleted individual at that time. Somebody who's physically depleted and worn out by their life on earth couldn't very well build an ark. But Noah did. Of course, the help of his sons as well, but he did that. So we need to understand. But a lot of times we look at these big ages and that's all we focus on is, wow, people lived a long time back then. But we never ask ourselves, why did God tell us how long people lived? I mean, it is interesting, and in fact, one of the sides of that paper that you were handed has a little chart that has the different ages of some of the people that lived on earth. And it has a little graph, and you can look down there, and you can see that Adam was still alive when Lamech was born. That was Noah's father. Adam was still alive when Noah's father was born. You can look a little further down, and you can see that Shem, who was born before the flood and lived through the flood because he was on the boat, he lived all the way until the time of Isaac and Jacob. That's amazing to think about that. That Isaac and Jacob, we think about that as being, a long, long time apart. And it was. It was several hundred years between the flood and Isaac and Jacob, and yet Shem lived that long. Shem was still alive way down there in 2156, and Jacob was born in 2108, according to that little chart. Now, that doesn't mean that they knew each other. And even though they were descendants, great-great-great-grandson on down the line. But it doesn't necessarily mean they knew each other. They may have lived far apart. And of course, with Abraham's traveling and then Isaac traveling and Jacob traveling, they may not ever have actually met him, but they had probably heard that, hey, you heard that fellow that was on it? And yet, all of those years, still people left the Lord and they were worshiping idols by that time. Remember Isaac, Jacob, when Jacob was taking Rachel and Leah away from their father Laban's house, Rachel stole the household idols. Now why would those people that had descended from someone who had been on the ark that knew there was only one God, and perhaps even, we know Noah heard the voice of God, maybe Shem heard God speak as well. And yet, down the line, they had gotten away from that and had made their own gods and were worshiping their own gods. And how easily and how quickly people do turn away from what they were taught. And many of us understand that because we've seen it in our own families. We've seen our own brothers or sisters or children or nephews and nieces that were taught right, but they veered away from it. They went away from what they were taught. All right, let's move on into this chronology, however. One thing that we do know, and this is number one on our, if you want to call it an outline, number one on our little outline, we know that God created the world in Genesis 1 and verse 1. We know that 6 days later, God made man. So when we ask how old is the earth, according to the Bible, we can clearly say that the earth is only 6 days older than man, than human beings have been on it. Now that's a far cry from what evolution and the so-called scientists tell us. Because they say, the earth is 4.5 or 5 billion years old. Man's only been on the scene for a couple of million. That means the earth was around for 4.48 billion years before man came along. That's not what the Bible teaches. And to pound that home, we talked about the Ten Commandments this morning. In Exodus chapter 20, as those Ten Commandments are given, And we talk specifically about the Sabbath day because that is the one that Jesus never said anything about bringing any of that idea forward into the New Testament. But when we talked about that, when you look back to that, we just quoted the part about remember the Sabbath day. But I want us to notice something. When he actually tells the children of Israel this, notice what he says. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. This is Exodus 20 verses 9 and following. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. Notice verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Now, we talked this morning about the fact that we're not under those Ten Commandments and not under that law of Moses. But that doesn't mean we can't learn something here. It is still, it was inspired by God. God gave this law to Moses. Moses wrote it down. Notice what Moses writes. In 6 days, God made the heaven, he made the earth, he made the sea, and he made everything that's in them in 6 days. Now, there are a lot of people, even Christian people, who claim they believe the Bible, who try to make the creation of the earth happen over millions of years. The Bible does not teach that, and you can't make that fit. Moses said it right here, in 6 days, God made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything that's in them. 6 days. He didn't say, and over several thousand years that he called days. No, he said in 6 days, God did this. So we see then that 6 days after the first day, really 5 days after because it was on the sixth day, so there were really only 5 full days between the creation of the earth on day one. I know we say he made light on day one, but if we look in Genesis 1:1, he made the heaven and the earth, and then he said, let there be light, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So he was busy that first day. He made the heaven, the earth, and light. He was busy. Well, I don't know if that even constitutes busy for God. He just said it, and it was. But here we have then, 5 days later, on the sixth day, here's man. So if we can figure out how long mankind has been on this earth, then we can figure out to within 5 days how old the earth is. And we can. It's an amazing thing. The Bible has given us the evidence that we need, and it's done it through these chronologies like are in Genesis chapter 5. Notice here in Genesis chapter 5, the ages are given for the lineage from Adam to Noah. Now, we don't do it right here on this page, but you can. And if you don't trust my math, that's fine. You go back and add them up yourself. You start with Adam, and you say, okay, Adam was created first. That was 0 AC. I call that after creation as opposed to AD or something like that that we use. But 0 AC, 0 years after creation, here's Adam. Well, you add to that 130 years because that's when Seth was born. So if you go from 0 to 130, you now have Seth's born 130 years after creation. And then you add to that, it says of Seth that he lived 105 years before he begat Enos. So you add another 105 years to that 130. Now notice, the other 800 that Adam lived doesn't really figure into this addition. But so you add the 105 to that, and you get up to about 235. And then you add to that how old Enos was. He was 90, down in verse 9, when he begat Canaan. And so you add another 90 to that. And so suddenly you're up to 325 years. And you keep doing that. You add the ages of how old each one was when his son was born. And we don't have time to go through it all right now tonight. But if you add those up from Adam to Noah, you get from 0 when Adam was created to 1656 being the year the flood was sent. And that's the year that Methuselah died. Now, whether he died in the flood or if he died before the flood came that year, I don't know for sure. But everybody that was alive on that earth that wasn't on that boat died that year. No doubt about that. They couldn't swim that long. So you get from Noah to from Adam to Noah, 1,656 years. That seems like a lot of years. That's a long time. Longer than this nation has existed. But yet in the scheme of people talking about 4 billion years, we got a long way to go to get to any 4 or 5 billion. Well, we'll never get there. It's interesting because the follow-up to this then is in Genesis chapter 11, where God includes another of these chronologies. Not just a genealogy that names the fathers and sons, but a chronology that gives the ages. And there he starts with Shem. And he says that Shem was 100 years old, and he begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. He gives us some interesting information there. We know that when Noah was 500, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But Shem, Ham, and Japheth aren't triplets, or else Shem would have been 102 2 years after the flood. He was apparently born 2 years after one of the others, because he was only 98 when the flood came. He was 100 2 years after the flood. But you can add those numbers together. And if we figure then that Shem is born 1558, which would make him 98 years old in 1656 when the flood comes, then we know that his son was born in 1560. And then we can follow that on down till we get to Abraham. Now I'm going to tell you right now, the only real difficulty is with Abraham. It doesn't tell us very precisely when Abraham was born, because as we look at this situation here in Genesis chapter 11, it simply tells us that when Terah lived 70 years, he begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. But again, they weren't triplets. And so looking at some things there and looking at how old he was when he died and so forth, we can calculate to within about 20 years. Between Genesis 11:32 and Genesis 12:4, we learn that Terah would have been between 130 and 170 when Abraham was actually born. Somewhere in that range. So that's a 40-year gap. We're still a long way from 4 billion, let me tell you. So if we split the difference and say he was 150, then we're not off more than 20 years one way or the other. We're close. We're within 20 years of the age of the earth, which is pretty amazing considering how long ago that was. So we get ourselves to somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,028 years after Christ. Well, then, in Genesis 21:5, we find that Abraham's 100 when Isaac is born. So now we're to 21:28. Then Jacob is born. Isaac is 60 years old at that time. That brings us to 21:88. Jacob is 130 years old when he enters Egypt. You know, it's an interesting thing. You're there in Genesis chapter 47, verses 8 and 9. And here's Pharaoh, and he meets Jacob, and out of the blue comes up this discussion about how old Jacob is. Very helpful for us to be able to calculate the age of the earth, though. Doesn't seem like it. What other point was there? It's almost like God included that just so we could know. But he was 130 years old when they entered into Egypt. That brings us to 23:18. Now, the Israelites were in Egypt for 430 years, according to Exodus 12:40 through 41, which brings us to 2748. That 2,748 years after creation. But then we find out in 1 Kings 6:1 and 1 Kings 11:42 that the temple is built in the fourth year of Solomon's 40-year-long reign. So that would be 400 and... we also find out this is, that's 480 years after the Israelites have come out of Egypt. So the building of the temple is around... goes from the Exodus in 2748, we get to the building of the temple in 3228. Now, we've got to get from the AC time, the after creation time, to the more standard BC and AD times. Well, here's the thing. See, now we're into comparative history. Because other people wrote about Solomon outside the Bible even. So we can easily pin down when Solomon lived. Not just from the Bible and what it says, but from other ancient manuscripts that they found about Solomon and about the nation of Israel. Things about the stars and where they align and different things like that. We find that if we look historically, during certain events and the reigns of other Israelite kings and some of those things, and there's a lot of adding and subtracting and things that go into that, but we find that Solomon's reign was around 966 BC, would have been this fourth year of his reign. Not quite 1,000 years before Christ came, but somewhere in that neighborhood. And so we add that in there. Well, that would bring us to, if that was the fourth year of his reign, then 36 years later would have been the end of his reign. That would have been about 930 BC, or 3,264 years after Christ. Now all we've got to do is some simple math. If that was 930 BC, and we're now 3,264 years from the creation, then all we have to do is add that 930 to it to get to the birth of Christ, and then just add what year it is now to that time of the birth of Christ, and we have, within a few years, remember we had that problem with Abraham, and remember also that the ages of the patriarchs could have been, you've got to give or take 11 months in there. Now, I may say I'm 38, but my birthday's next week. Or I may say I'm 38, but my birthday was just last week. Well, that's an 11-month difference there in how old I actually am as far as the amount of months that have gone by in days. But even with all of that, we are within 100 years of the age of the earth. And you can see there, when we add those things together, we get that 3264 plus the 930. That gets us to about 4194. And then this is 2011, and that brings us up to about 6205, give or take those few years. So we're somewhere, some 6100 to 6300, we give or take 100 years. That's a pretty big... generous amount of years to give for all of those uncertainties. 6100 to 6300? That's a far cry from 4 or 5 billion. And yet that's what the Bible teaches us. And the Bible has it traced out from Adam, who begat this person, who was a certain age, when they begat that person, and so on and so on. And people will often argue, well, but they may have skipped a generation. Let me tell you something, that doesn't matter in a chronology. But let's imagine for a moment, in my family, there's a genealogy, it says, and Larry Pasley begat James Pasley, who begat Xander Pasley. But what if they left me out? Well, nobody'd know about me. It'd just say, Larry Pasley begat Xander Pasley. Now we know he wasn't physically the father, but he was the ancestor. But what if we used a chronology instead? What if we said, and when Larry Pasley was 60 years old, Xander Pasley was born? Now, does it matter that they left me out?
No.
It doesn't change the fact that Larry Pasley was 60 years old when Xander was born. Now, they add me in. And Larry Pasley was, we'll just use round numbers, Larry Pasley was 30 years old when James Pasley was born. And James Pasley was 30 years old when Xander Pasley was born. Guess what? That's still 60 years. So even if there was a generation skip, which some people try to claim, it wouldn't change how many years it was. Some people try to say, well, how long were Adam and Eve in the garden? Because we don't know how long they were in the garden. It doesn't matter how long they were in the garden. Time began for them the day they were put in that garden. And whether they were in that garden for one day or for 115 years, it doesn't matter. When Adam was 130 years old, Seth was born. It doesn't matter how long they were in the garden. It doesn't change the facts. It's the amazing thing about math. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 × 3 = 6. It doesn't change. It stays the same. And that's why it's such a wonderful tool. But we look at this, and we see that the Bible pictures an earth that's only a little over 6,000 years old. We're not going to get dogmatic down to the year, because we talked about some of those problems that we can't be sure of a certain year on some of those things. But we're talking about a little over 6,000 years. And scientists are talking about billions of years. And they're talking about people being on earth for millions of years. Marion mentioned to me this evening as I came in about the article that was in the bulletin this morning. I hope you'll take the time to read that if you haven't already, and get the follow-up to it that's going to be in the bulletin next week, the rest of it, because it was too long to put in one bulletin. And I hope you'll read that, because there's some interesting things in there outside of what the Bible says that we've just seen that establishes the age of the earth to be around 6,000 years. Outside of that, there are some scientific evidences that the earth is not 4 or 5 billion years old like scientists claim. And yet, our children are taught this from, well, before, you can pick up a little baby book, a little board book about the dinosaurs, and it says, millions of years ago, let me tell you something, millions of years ago, the earth wasn't here. Because God hadn't created it yet. It didn't exist that long ago. But they have to have those millions and billions of years in order to try to prove that evolution could have taken place, because they know that it can't take place in such a short amount of time as 6 or 7,000 years like we've been talking about. It has to have millions and billions of years to ever take place. So they have to lie and make stuff up in order to try to prove their point. You know, it is an amazing thing. It's almost as though, maybe it is, that God knew what lies were going to be told long before they ever were told, and He gave us what we needed to defeat those lies in His Word. He expected, He knew what falsehoods were going to be out there that we would need to combat. And so He gave us the tools that we needed to be able to do that. And we've seen some of those tonight. Next time we're together, we'll be in Genesis chapter 6, looking at Noah and the ark. And there again is another one of those things that, oh, the evolutionists and the skeptics, oh, that could never have happened. That's not real. We're going to show next time that that's very real as well. We should not be doubting the Bible. We should be confident that what God put in here will stand up to any test that can be thrown at it. Tonight, I want to appeal to you. Don't just believe what the Bible says about things like Adam and Eve and Noah and the flood and Cain and Abel and things like that. Believe what it tells you about how you're supposed to live your life. You see, if it's right about all of these, I mean, honestly, How old the earth is really doesn't matter in the scheme of our salvation. If the earth was 4 billion years old, it wouldn't change whether we could go to heaven or what we needed to do to get there. But there are a lot of things that the Bible teaches us about our day-to-day lives, what we're supposed to do and say and think, how to live. And sometimes we don't really let God's Word get into us, and we don't live it out in our lives. If we don't live God's Word in our lives, then we're no better off than the person who doesn't believe it's God's Word in the first place. Tonight I want to encourage you, if you haven't been putting God's Word into your life, living by it, make that change today. Live by this book, and it will change you, but it will also save you. Tonight, if you have a need to respond to the invitation, please do so as we stand and as we sing.